Greetings, friends and listeners, and welcome to this program of the R.G. Hardy Ministries as we come your way proclaiming, souls are crying and men are dying. Won't you help us to win the lost? This is Sister Sharon Knotts, and on today's program, I will be ministering a special message entitled, Nail It to the Cross. Now, normally my dad, Brother Hardy, would be preaching, but he wants me to share with you this powerful truth that the cross is greater than the curse. This revelation totally revolutionized my own life, and I know it will yours too. Your eyes will be open to see that everything that is part of the curse, Jesus has nailed to his cross. Stay tuned, because at the end of the program, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of this message, Nail It to the Cross.
But the thing I like about God is he's very crystal clear. He said, but if you don't, and if you go after other gods, and you forsake the Lord your God, this is what you can expect. When you have the cause, you have the curse. Let's look at verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, which you can read in the chapter earlier, to go after other gods, to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all these commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, if thou shalt not, I should say, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. How many know that's a strong word? When something overtakes you, it comes upon you. It's like someone taking you and getting you in a wrestling hold and overtakes you. He said, cursed shall thou be in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field, cursed shall thou be in thy basket, cursed shall thou be in the store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, cursed shall be the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine or thy cattle, thy flocks, thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when you come in, when you go out, when the Lord shall send cursing, vexation, rebuke, in all that you set your hand to, until you be destroyed and perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now basically what God is saying here, he's saying you're going to be cursed in your finances, because remember they were agricultural people. So they equated their wealth by how many sheep and cattle and goats and farmland they had, fruits and crops they produced. That was the measure of their worth and their value monetarily. So when God said you're going to be cursed in your basket, in your storehouse, in your cattle, your kine, in the fruit of your land, he was cursing. Poverty was going to come upon them. When he said you're going to be cursed in your body, in the fruit of your body, he was saying it's going to come upon you and your children, sicknesses and diseases. When he says you're going to be cursed going out and cursed coming in and vexation and rebuking, he said you're going to have so much emotional and mental illness, and you're going to be oppressed. You're going to be cast down. You're going to have all kinds of problems. Everywhere you look, you're going to have family problems. All of these curses will come upon you, and they will come upon you quickly until you perish out of the land. If we would go on, and I'm going to paraphrase verses 21 to about through verse 60. He says pestilence is going to come on you. Now, pestilence in the Bible is another word for disease. It's a synonym for disease. And he begins to name all these diseases, things like consumption. Now, you know, we don't use the word consumption anymore. If someone said, I got consumption, you wouldn't know what they were talking about. But it means that any kind of disease that eats away at you. It could be TB. It could be AIDS. It could be cancer. It could be leprosy. It could be a host of diseases. Anything that consumes your flesh and your body. So it's a broad category of diseases, he said, will come upon you. And he went on to say you'll have extreme burning and inflammation. And you know, you're hearing more and more things about many diseases now are directly linked to inflammation. Even heart attacks. They're beginning to understand that if you have inflammation in your veins and arteries, you are more susceptible to having a heart attack. So this is a broad category of diseases. He names all kinds of skin diseases. I mean, he even names, you know, things like hemorrhoids. Then it goes on to mental illnesses. He names blindness. He talks about heart trouble. He talks about plagues. He talks about paralysis. He talks about diseases that are chronic, that come on a person for a long, long time. They don't die of it. They just are always sick and always suffering. He talks about diseases that would include things like, as I said, cancer and leukemia and all of these diseases. He says all of these diseases will cleave unto you. Now, I know this don't sound like good news, but it's going to get good in a minute. I want you to see something. I want you to look at verse 61. If he has, if just in case he didn't cover something, he said in verse 61, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book, then will the Lord bring upon thee, and thou shalt be destroyed. So he said, in case I left one out, in case they discover one in another 2,000 years from now, and they discover a new disease, every disease that's not even written here, he says, that will come upon you. Then he said in verses 66 and 67, thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night. Thou shalt have no assurance of thy life. In the morning, you're going to say, I would to God it was evening. And at evening, you'll say, I would to God it was morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. God said all of these things are going to come upon you. Have you ever seen anything like that as it is today? People are filled with so much turmoil, so much anxiety. They do not have any peace, because the Bible says there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You cannot have peace in the world. All you can have are the curses that God said would come. And people today, they're in doubt of their life. Have you ever been in a state of fear? Have you ever been in a place of turmoil that you walk the floor all night long and you wish to God it was morning? But when morning and day came and your body was so tired and you were so weary with the load you were carrying, you were wished to God it was night. Maybe you could go to sleep and you could forget about all your problems, but you couldn't, because they were always there. You see, that's what Adam brought upon us. Because of one man's disobedience, he brought all those things upon us. But God said, I want to redeem your life. He said, I want to redeem your life from destruction. I know Satan has come to steal, to kill, and destroy your life. But the good news is, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And so God used Moses to speak this to the people of God just as they were about ready to go into the promised land. Now, maybe some of you have been watching the Ten Commandments on TV, so it's fresh in your mind. It was on last night. So it's fresh in your mind of the great deliverance that God gave them to bring them out of Egypt. But then there they were in this wilderness, and God gave them his law. He took them into the wilderness to separate them from the world, to separate them from all the influences, so he could bring them to his holy mountain, so he could say, will you serve me? Will you obey me? Will you walk in my statutes? Because if you do, I'll take away all those diseases that you left behind you in Egypt. I'll take them away from you, and I'll bless you if you'll follow me. And out of that, God did get a people. Now, when it came time for them to go into the land of Egypt, the land of promise, after being in the wilderness 40 years, God did not allow Moses to take them in. He let him bring them out, but he didn't let them go in with Moses. He raised up Joshua. Because Joshua had a heart who wholly followed the Lord. When everybody else was murmuring and griping and complaining, Joshua and Caleb, those two alone out of that generation, believed in the Lord. So God let Joshua take them in. And you know the story, the very, very first conquest. How many know the story of Jericho? They marched around it for seven times. And then on the last day, they marched around it seven times. And what happened? The walls fell straight down. They didn't have to shoot one arrow. They didn't have to fight one battle. The walls fell down, and the fear of God was on the enemy, so that they would kill themselves. And God's children could go in, because, you know, they had been in Egypt. They hadn't been in armies. They had been slaves. And the problem with someone who comes out of slavery is he still thinks like a slave. And you've got to get him thinking like a warrior and a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And that's what the devil does to people. He keeps them in sin and makes them think that they have to be a slave to sin, because Jesus said that he that serves sin is a slave to sin. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so he used Joshua to take them in. And one after another, they began to take over. Now, they didn't get the whole promised land the first day they went in. They had to go in and systematically. They had one campaign, the north, the south, the east, and west, till they rid the land of all the enemy. And then they went in and they possessed the land. And I like what it says at the very end of the book of Joshua, the very end of this generation. It says that in the days, it says Joshua 24:31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the words of the Lord that he had done, all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Now Joshua lived to be 110 years old. And so that means that for that period of time, he had a great influence on many people. And the Bible said, as I just read, that all the days of Joshua, 110 years, and all of his peers and contemporaries that were in his time, they served the Lord, they obeyed God, they kept the promise, but something happened after that generation died off. When the last one who overlived the generation of Joshua died off, the people began to turn away from the Lord. And the next book of the Bible is called the Book of Judges. The Book of Judges is one of the saddest books in the whole Bible. It is one of the most perverse books out of all the 66 books because it began a 350-year cycle when the people rebelled against God, and the Bible says every man did what was right in his own sight. Now, why is it dangerous for every one of us to do what's right in our own sight if we're not born again and have the Spirit of Christ? Because in sin were we shaped in iniquity, and our heart is going to be bent towards sin. Didn't we already see that? We inherit the nature of Adam. So if everybody begins to do what's right to them, then they're going to do what Adam did. They're going to do what Cain did. They're going to murder their brother. How many say amen? They're going to do what Adam did. They're going to lie. And the book of Judges, some of the most perverse things you could ever read, that they took place in the book of Judges. And it only got worse after that.
Amen. Friends, I trust that you are being blessed by this devil-chasing message, Nail It to the Cross. I am so excited to share this truth with you because this revelation was the catalyst for deliverance and victory in my own life, and I continue to walk in it every day. And it boils down to this: the cross is greater than the curse. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought curses not only upon themselves, but upon all their posterity. The Bible says, "The curse causeless shall not come." The cause is sin, and we were all born in sin, and we're all under the curse. Now, if you can remove the cause, you will break the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, "But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is he that hangs on a tree." Jesus had to hang on the cross, and there he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's the written evidence, the cause that proved our guilt and brought the curse. And he nailed it to his cross. Then he publicly spoiled and legally stripped Satan of any right to bring it on us again. Now it is up to you and to me to see every sin, sickness, disease, fear, torment, depression, addiction, and all demonic oppression nailed to the cross in Jesus' name. You have to get this message, not because I preached it, but because it is the truth that the devil hopes you never get in your spirit. The complete message is available on CD or cassette tape for your love gift of $10 or more. Ask for offer SK120 and specify if you want CD or tape. Send to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or go online to rghardy.org.